Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Hello again. Welcome into Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around the racetracks. I'm Steve Post, pit road reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm great. I wasn't in Michigan, so I didn't get the extended stay, and I got to watch it from
home. Honest, Sunday evening, you were jealous of us, trying to find hotels, trying to find rooms, trying to find a bite to eat. You were jealous of us. Be honest. No, you weren't.
Yeah. It's part of what Mother Nature throws, though.
It just is.
And we got some racing in on Sunday. We got the tail of two races.
No doubt about that. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. It was good stuff at Michigan.
The one common thing being in the 19 car was stupid fast all night long.
Oh, man.
And didn't end up winning.
I know. We joked around on one of our commercials. I've never known what it is to be the skinny, scrawny kid at the go-kart track. I'm going to ask Martin Truex Jr. what that feeling is like to have that kind of speed.
Yeah.
I mean...
I was willing to give him the trophy after that drive in stage two when they pitted with, 13, 14 to go, came out 14th, and he just drove through the field.
Yeah.
And was, 3 seconds back and just run him down and beat him. It was impressive run for the 19 team to not end up winning. I felt badly for him in some ways. But
yeah, you do, because you just did everything. But
super excited for Scott Graves and Chris Buescher, because they had a good car.
Yeah.
They were in that top five range, and they executed. They put together a plan. They worked with a non-teammate, but somebody on their strategy, and got themselves where their plan executed. And then, honestly, you have to give Chris Buescher credit, because he drove a perfect race. He controlled the lanes. He put Martin where he didn't want to be. When Martin did get a run through lap traffic, he made Martin be aggressive at a place where Martin about wrecked himself. I know, not deviously. Thought it was good racing.
Yeah.
Martin showed his talent, because we saw many other future or former champions wreck their race cars doing that.
Yeah.
He caught his. So it was a great race.
Good stuff.
Right on my seat till the last lap.
Yeah. I really enjoyed watching that. What I thought was interesting, and I asked Chris about it in our MRN Victory Lane interview, asked him about it, and I said, what is that cat and mouse game like at the end? And he said, all day Sunday and all day, I paid attention to what the second car was doing, what I was dealing with when I was back in traffic, and I just decided to try to apply everything I learned to Martin Truex back there, and by God, lessons learned, that's for sure.
He did well. He did it well. And you've got to, you know, execution for, it wasn't for five laps.
No, my God.
It was three quarters of a fuel run.
Yeah.
It brought back memories of Joey Logano winning Kansas when Kevin Harvick had him covered, and he just drove the dirty air to him every lap for an entire fuel run. Chris Buescher handled lap traffic, didn't get himself in a bad position. The one time he got stuck in traffic and Martin got a run on him, I thought he executed the race perfectly.
Yeah, he did.
And they were good. They were a top five car.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they came from nowhere. But on a day when Martin looks so dominant, so separated from the field, Chris showed that he put it together and brought out a race win. Don't tell me that wins don't bring confidence.
No doubt about it, because that was a confident race car driver over the last quarter of that race.
Yes.
That's 20% of that race. RFK Racing.
Mm-hmm.
Brad had arguably in Richmond the car to beat, and had a little messed up on pit road, still recovered to a sixth place finish.
Yeah.
You know.
Brad will tell you that Chris was better than him. But yes,
exactly.
They were one two. Ended up 1-6.
And here they were 2-3, 2-4, and they ended up 1-4.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That team is executed. I had something I really caught, and I'm the further I go in this sport, and you've shared this with me, and you probably have triggered this to me. Listening to Brad Keselowski, okay, and I listened to him in a press conference on Saturday, and my mind just, he is just so sharp. coming down pit road in the rain delay. Okay. It was a punch list of what I want to see. I want to see this SMT data. I want to see this, that. I want to see this. 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 And he's literally, and I know the engineer's there. I'm saying scribbling. The engineer is there typing it in. And then he just says, and I'll see you on the pit box. When you get a chance to debrief, and I asked Brad about it on Monday when we went back to racing, he said, yeah, when in our sport do you get a chance to debrief in the middle of a race like that? And I just wanted to see where I could be better. Well, and he finished fourth. I mean, he came. He was probably a sixth place car at that point. And he brought home to a fourth place finish. I just find Brad and that opportunity to debrief in the middle of the race. I found that a fascinating dynamic that we had with this Michigan race.
Yeah, it's an opportunity, and that's one thing that I think, you know, in my years of experience around Brad and with Brad, he never leaves any stone unturned. He's a consummate. How can we be better? He understands Roger's formula, right? Looking out the front windshield, always trying to be better. And Brad's that way as well. And he just wants to be about it. So really cool to see that. Really cool to see that. I think every driver would have said on that list, the first thing on that list is, show me Martin Truex Jr.'s traces, because I want to understand how good he is.
Yeah.
Because he's just, the ability to roll speed into the corner and through the center, even on the bottom, was phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, it was funny when that stage two ended, because Brad was one of the cars Martin passed at the end. We get done, he cues him like, wow, Truex is good. That's all he said. That was funny. Couple of attaboys here. We have talked over the last month, and we had Darren Grubb on last week. Trackhouse Racing wasn't 1-2, but it was 6-7 for Trackhouse Racing. Really good day for that team.
Yeah, turned around. And Ross led a fair amount of the early part of that. They definitely looked to be back in the form that I would have expected them to be all year long, not the lull they've had the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Right. And Legacy Motor Club, Eric Jones, Dave Ellens. How about that?
Yeah, solid day for him.
Solid day, 10th place finish.
Yeah, and they ran up there or better a lot of it. So they continue to work things forward. I think they're doing a good job. They're doing a good job. Got to get a win. Got 3 races left.
Got to get a win. And boy, with the challenges, that team's in a weird spot. And I don't want to put you in a weird spot because you're part of that team. But with changing manufacturers, and then the ultimate dynamic with the teammate, with Noah Gregson and everything like that, I think that's part of what makes what Eric and that team did even better, is there's a lot going on over there, and they did a really good job with a 10th place finish. And we will talk about this in a little bit, but we're getting ready to talk to our guest. Jeremy Bullen's going to join us here on the program. And we have got a playoff bubble for the ages, and we'll talk about that when we preview Indy coming up in a little bit, because this is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, this next 3 races, it's going to be really interesting, because if you look at our bubble and all the way back, you know, you go all the way back to Chase Elliott.
Yeah.
Austin Cindric is ahead of him, but a great road course racer. It's going to be good to talk to see what Jeremy sees out of the next 3.
That's right. Absolutely. So Jeremy Mullins is our guest. He'll join us next.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, and let's go right to it. Joining us from up at Team Penske, Jeremy Bullens joins us. Hello, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well. Tell me about Michigan, 12th place run up there. What did you guys learn? Just how did that one unfold for you guys?
It was a pretty solid day for us. Michigan's one of those tracks where you really have to play the track position game. So we did right sides, left sides, just trying to cycle ourselves forward all the time as much as we could. And it worked out for us. We kept track good average track position all day. Had a little miscommunication on the last stop. Called for 4. He thought we were doing 2, so he tried to leave a little early there. But, we still didn't lose a whole lot. Managed to come out of there with a solid day and finish 12th. It's good to be disappointed about 12 for sure.
Yeah. And one thing you brought up there, you said doing lefts, doing rights. Back when I was around with the old car, lefts were a nightmare. How is this car with left side tires? Is it a challenge still? Are they really loose to start with, or how does that work out?
Definitely freed the balance up early in the run when you have that air pressure split from the new left. But, it came in a few laps and was okay for sure.
Really cool. Really cool. So you look at this, and I really, I thought a decent run and one to build off of as you go forward. The last couple of months have been a challenge for you guys. How do you keep your team together and your chemistry together through a stretch like that to get to a point where you've got runs like this?
Well, I think, the main thing for us is, this core group has been together for a long time. It's the same group of people that, almost won a championship at the end of 2020 and have had good runs, last year and even this year, we've had a couple of good runs. So we know what we're capable of. We know what Austin's capable of. We know what our team's capable of. So really for us, it's just kind of keeping the faith that, when everything comes together, we're going to be where we need to be. And this is one of those weekends where I like told Austin last night, we got 98% of it right. We had the one little error on pit road that kept us from probably finishing seventh or eighth. And I think days like that give you the confidence that, okay, like when we do our job and we execute and get everything right, we're going to be where we need to be. It was a great weekend to kind of get the momentum here for the next 3 weeks.
Well, and let's talk about the next 3 weeks. You're one of those teams, and there's a number of you out there. You're not alone with it, but you've got an exceptionally good road course racer and an exceptionally good speedway racer. So carrying that momentum into these 3 weeks, it's got to be good to get momentum into what should be strong points for you guys looking forward here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, looking at the next 3 weeks, like have all the confidence in the world that we can go be competitive, score a lot of points, and certainly put ourselves in a position to win one of the next three. There are places that, we feel confident about and places where we feel like we should be fast.
Yeah, and you look at this, and I guess adding to that, next week, you're going to Indy. Is there added pressure going to Indy with Rogers' ownership and just passion for that environment?
I don't look at it as added pressure. I think, we all know what Indy means to RP and you do as well. And I think for us, it's more of the opportunity to try to do your best to make him happy. And the place is so cool. Whether you're on the oval or the road course, just when you look at the history of the speedway, to me, I get chills every time I go in there. You want to run good there. So, I felt that way no matter where I work, but knowing the history that Team Penske has there, just makes you want to run that much better.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. A couple of Indy questions, but last year's tire didn't seem like it lost lap time, hung on there. I think Blaney actually like maybe two stopped it. He was on old tires there when he got spun at the end and was very definitively defending the call. Do you anticipate that we'll see the tire have the life that it did last year and kind of change some strategies up for guys?
I don't know that it'll be a whole lot different. I feel like a lot of the two-stop versus three-stop strategy last year to me seemed like just what kind of track position you had and guys kind of doing what they had to do to try to get track position. We debated it a lot. We were right on the edge of whether or not that makes sense. So, I don't know that you're going to see a ton of fall off. I hope to see a little more, but I don't know that it'll be a lot different.
Jeremy, when we look at this, we're four or five road courses into this season. I'm going to throw Chicagoland out because it was kind of a mess with everything up there. But the stage ends with no stage breaks. Has it kind of gone back to old school road course racing? How do you assess that now, four or five races in road course races into the season?
Yeah, I think it just adds a little bit more of some gambling of when do you pit. Do I stay out to get my stage points and run the risk of getting trapped by caution? Some of those things it just kind of brings into play. But it's also nice that you have the option to try to. If the field's spread out, you don't think there's going to be a caution, you can run through the stage and get your stage points if you're in the top 10 and then pit, shortly thereafter. So it's just kind of given us some options. And I think whenever we mix it up a little bit, the longer you have the way it was before, we'd done it so long, everybody kind of knew, all right, either you're going to take stage points or put the stage. Well, now you kind of created some different options. So, I think that's good to kind of mix it up a little bit.
And you talk about the stage points and pieces like that. You're 53 points behind the cut line at this point, but like Steve talked about, three racetracks that I think you've got great opportunities at. You won the Daytona 500. the last one. So there's always that in the back. And I feel like the Fords have been really good at the speedway races. So that's got to be a little calming. But how do you race these next two races? When you have those decisions, do you try to be on the front side? Do you still chase some points and try to chase the stage points when you can? Try to close that as much as you can? Or is it all about just trying to manufacture opportunities for wins?
Yeah, I look at the next 2 weeks, the road course specifically, where there is no yellow at the stage end, where those are opportunities where we could probably race for stage points without upsetting the strategy that you would need to win the race. So I think those are opportunities to really gain some stage points over the next 2 weeks and still have good finishes and even a chance to win. Where I look at Daytona, where you have, you know, the stage breaks where you know you're going to get a yellow, probably a little bit differently. You may have to sacrifice stage points in one of those to try to keep yourself in position to win the race.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. It really truly is. Indianapolis, we've got a new restart zone at Indianapolis. The headline story of Indy and the headline story of COTA earlier this year was turn one. What's your expectations of an impact that restart zone might have to your driver and all the other drivers out on the track?
Well, I think it's good that we're trying to take steps to avoid some of these, you know, turn one, turn two early calamities that kind of upset the race from being just a race, you know, like COTA turns into a nightmare at the you know, beginning of turn one there. Like every race, always some pile up there that kind of changes the outcome of the race in some way. I don't think that's really good for what we're trying to accomplish. So, I like the fact that we're trying to, you know, keep it about the racing a little bit.
Yeah, really cool. And as you look at these next two, it seems like Fords have been on a little bit of a recovery. We've seen some speed out of guys, especially with lower downforce stuff at the short tracks. Where do you feel like Ford as a manufacturer is kind of building these last three?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a lot of effort, a lot of, you know, work from everybody at Roush Yates to team side and everything that everybody's doing to try to get better. You know, we always talk about peaking at the right time, and the playoffs are coming, and you know, whether we make it or not, you know, we're all trying to make the best effort we can to have our cars in as good a spot as we can when the playoffs do roll around. So, you know, it's a continued effort. You know, it kind of seems like we do this a lot, you know, where we're okay at the beginning of the year and we keep getting stronger. And I kind of feel like, you know, this year's kind of shaping up that way. And I hope that we keep building on the things that we're learning to get ourselves where we need to be by the end of the year.
I think when we look, Jeremy, at the global Ford camp, I think, you know, one time it's Penske, Stuart Haas, all of a sudden Brad Keselowski's gone over RFK. How critical, how important is it to have different teams within a manufacturer pushing each other? And you see what Brad is doing over there right now. How important is it that you guys all keep elevating each other as well as the Ford brand as well?
Well, I think it's key for the Ford brand that all the teams can be competitive. And I think that's great. The last thing that, you know, Ford wants is one team to stand out. I know they want, you know, all their teams to be capable of running up front. So that's a good thing. I think, you know, obviously everybody at RFK has done a great job and really highlighted the progress they've made over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, for us, it's kind of the same thing. We're trying to push the bar forward as well. And you know, when they're capable of running up front, winning races, that we have all the same resources and we know that we're capable as well. It's just, you know, getting all the little details right and executing on race day.
Yeah, fun stuff, that is for sure. Jeremy, before we cut you loose, fun stuff as well. Millbridge Speedway, I see you out there occasionally. You at one time were crew chief, now it seems like your uncle. What's going on? Are you still working on cars out there? Are you going out to watch? Where's your point here with Millbridge Speedway with the kids racing on Tuesday nights?
So my nephew, Gabe Vitano, races at Millbridge. So everybody asks me if I'm the crew chief. I tell them, no, I'm just a consultant. I'm there to help pick gears and air pressure. That's pretty much my deal. But no, Gabe's actually in Iowa last night and tonight racing at, I think it's English Creek Speedway, with a ton of the kids from Millbridge. So good luck to him tonight. I hope all that goes well. And it's great to see the opportunities that all the kids have at Millbridge. And it's pretty amazing to me that, you know, they're racing on Dirt Vision on Tuesday night at, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old. I'm not sure they understand what a big deal that is at that age, but that's pretty awesome. And that you do a lot of for them out there too. So thanks for all that you do. And it's pretty cool that they're getting the opportunities that they're getting at their age.
I love our kids. I think I might have used this on the show a couple of weeks ago. Between Summer Shootout and Millbridge, one night, a Tuesday night, between those two tracks, we had 260 kids racing at a racetrack. So it is absolutely amazing. I don't know if I preface that last one by saying final question. If I do, I apologize. Growing up in Walnut Cove, North Carolina, did you ever run across those rascals that run over at Bowman Gray, Burt Myers and Jason Myers?
You know, it's funny because, those guys were racing at Bowman Gray, and I was going to 311 Speedway working on dirt late models. And it's funny because we talk about the fact that, you know, like I really didn't know those guys at all in high school. It was either, you were either at Bowman Gray or you were at 311. You were kind of like the dirt crowd and the asphalt crowd. And I've probably talked to Bert more since we got out of school than I did when we were in school. So, it's kind of funny. I certainly knew them and knew who they were, but didn't really hang out with them because we were always at different racetracks.
That's fun stuff. Really, truly is. Jeremy, we wish you well as you work forward through these next three races and then on into the playoffs. We appreciate the time joining us here today on Crew Call.
Thanks a lot, guys.
There we go. Jeremy Bowens from up at Team Penske joining us on Crew Call. Stay with us more in just a moment.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post hanging out. And boy, I love, first and foremost, one of the things I've always loved, you know me, I'm a dirt track guy, and I love Jeremy's passion for dirt track racing. He's fielded dirt late models over the course of time. Mm-hmm. Boy, I like that and love and respect the way he handles himself across the board with everything.
Yeah, he's a racer. He's a racer. Okay. And to the point, doesn't have kids of his own, but he's got a lot of passion in his nephew's racing program there, and you've seen it at Millbridge. So, owned some dirt late models back in the day, and through the years, and while I was at Penske, he had that going on the side, and just as a love for racing, look for good things out of the next 3 weeks from these guys. I really think the pressure isn't on Austin at these next two road course races like it is for say an AJ Allmendinger, mm-hmm. because I mean the Penske Speedway program's pretty strong. I feel like he's got that in a pocket that long run, he can always look back and say, we've got an opportunity at Daytona.
Let's take a look at this playoff picture going into Indianapolis, okay? When we talk about points, Harvick 180, Brad 168, Bubba 58. Don't give anything away there if you're Bubba.
Yeah, I feel like he's in a decent spot. I feel like that this program, I mean, Bodie Barker and Bubba Wallace have done a phenomenal job of executing. The last month, they've put together the races that they needed to get themselves a points buffer. I don't know that Bubba isn't the bubble car.
That's the
piece. But when you look at it, he's got a race separation with three to go. They just need to execute. And really, I hope we don't see an outlier winner at Indy because it's going to kill all of our storylines.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Because Bubba and Booty have done a good job getting away from the scrum.
They're so far away from it that if Bubba comes out with a top 15 finish and we have a Chase Elliott and Austin Cindric, AJ Allmendinger, a Daniel Suarez, a Chris, any of these guys winner at then the story going to Watkins Glen is going to be less. It's going to be it's only about winning.
Right.
The bubble line's not going to be there. It's just about whether we can see a different winner. Because I feel like they've created separation where if we have a winner that takes up one more spot, that Bubba is the bubble is pretty solid.
Yeah. Okay. So we the bubble line we have now, Ty Gibbs up by three, Michael McDowell down by three, Daniel Suarez down five, AJ Allmendinger, Alex Bowman, and then we've talked about Austin Cindric's back there, Chase Elliott's back there. But when you look at those...
Chase Briscoe's back there.
That's right.
Chase Briscoe is how AJ won a couple years ago, right? He and Denny were racing pretty hard.
That's exactly right.
A ton of opportunities.
When we talk about points, Gibbs, McDowell, Suarez. Those three locked within 5 points of each other. I think the beauty of this is when you look at the not only the next two races, but the next three races, I think if you're each of those three drivers, you feel really confident you can get stage points and or go for the win. This all plays to the strength of those three drivers particularly.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. And I think a lot of these guys would have looked at this and said, you know, as long as we're close, we're going to be good. But we're close with a bunch of guys that feel that way. Like it's the field's almost level in this respect because Suarez won at Sonoma last year. He's a good road racer. McDowell's a good road racer.
Yeah.
I mean, Ty Gibbs came on the scene and won at Daytona in his first Xfinity race
on a road course.
All these guys are good road racers and deeper in the field. I mean, Chase Elliott back in the day was in the Gen 6 car was astonishing how good he was at road courses. Right. He's been a little more human in the next gen car, but very good.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of storylines. Yeah,
this is just going to be fascinating. It really, truly is. We had Michael on during one of our rain delay coverage, which there was plenty of that in Michigan. And, you know, what was the goal? He said, I would feel fine coming out of here 15 points off. Obviously, that didn't work out. They had damage on the race card and didn't get the day they wanted. He said, but the problem is Daniel, Ty, AJ, because I feel like I can go to the road courses and score stage points and run for the win. He says, here's the problem. So does Daniel Suarez. So does Ty Gibbs. So does AJ Allmendinger. So does everyone I'm racing with.
Yes.
That, to me, what's make this fascinating.
Yeah, these next, if we don't have an outlier winner, these next, I mean, that's the storyline for the next two races, right? So, and then the next one comes. I mean, you don't feel great if you're Bubba. If there is a winner this week, you're really nervous about next week.
Right, Watkins Glen. Then you've got to you can't fumble the ball there.
Then if we had say an AJ win here, I'm just an Austin Cindric. We had Jeremy Bowles.
Right,
Austin Cindric wins at Indianapolis. What a great storyline! And you come back with an AJ or Chase Elliott win at Watkins Glen. Bubba's out.
Yeah. That's the problem.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, because here's the problem. With Daytona being the last race, you almost want one car bubble space.
Yes.
Because look at last year, Austin Dillon.
I mean, Ryan Blaney and Martin Truex Jr. were both in decent spots because Kurt Busch, gave back because he didn't want it because he wasn't going to participate. So that left the two spots for those guys until we had that major wreck and Austin Dillon snuck through the whole thing. And then Martin Truex isn't part of the playoffs.
We're in for a treat. I think that's what we're saying.
These next three races.
We're in for a treat. We really, truly are.
I mean, you could put the story together that Brad Keselowski is in trouble.
Yes, you could.
He's eighth in points.
Right. Yeah, in the real points, the adding of points.
If these two road courses get won by people
outside.
Yes. Anybody behind Brad that's not won. If we have new winners at these two races.
You're right, yeah. He becomes the bubble car going to Daytona. I mean,
folks. And if that happens, for Brad Keselowski to win Daytona.
Oh, gosh, yes.
The next 3 weeks are going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. It's going to be fun.
I think, by the way, talking about Brad Keselowski's chances, his teammate Chris Buescher has scored more points on road courses, I think, than anybody the last year and a half. And so they could be sitting at three in a row on Sunday afternoon. And Brad would really like that in many ways.
Yes, because that would put him where he's pretty much
locked in.
He's locked in.
Gosh, this is fascinating. Fun stuff. Speaking of fun stuff, we don't want to jump over this. The Truck Series, they kick off their playoff battle. 10 drivers. Round one. Listen to this racetrack. Round one. Lucas Oil Raceway Park. The Milwaukee Mile in Kansas. How cool is that for the trucks?
Awesome. It's awesome. I'm going to call it IRP because I'm an old school guy. Exactly. Right? Lucas Oil Indianapolis Raceway Park. Yeah. I'm going to call it IRP.
Yeah.
I just won there with Brad in 2011. I think that was going to be the last race at that place for the Xfinity Series then nationwide. Cool racetrack. If for us old school guys, that's where Thursday Night Thunder was, the old Silver Crown cars out there. The lane is up against the wall. You can turn down the hill. You can slide job. It's what a great place to kick off the truck playoffs.
Yeah.
And then Milwaukee, iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic. This racetrack dates back to what? 1903 or something?
Something like that. Yeah. It's like the oldest, like one of those.
Flat as can be. You can't, it's just, and then we go to Kansas, where you can rip the wall up there with those trucks, or you can run the bottom. It's What a great first round.
Truck Series playoffs going to be awesome, that's for sure. So we'll see what happens there. Motor Racing Network will have the coverage from Lucas Oil Indianapolis Raceway Park, and it's doubleheader coverage. 6 o'clock, the ARCA Menard Series for the Reese's 200, and at 8:30, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, the T-Sport 200 kicking off the playoffs. And then the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network has coverage of the Xfinity Series and coverage of the Cup Series from Indy. So fun times, fun stuff. We're in for a treat.
Yeah. The next month's going to be awesome.
Put your seat in the full upright position.
Fasten your seatbelts,
because hang on, it's going to be good. That's for sure. He is Todd Gordon. I am Steve Bost. We are grateful for Jeremy Bolins joining us here on the program. More important than all of that, though, thank you for joining us and watching or listening this week to Crew Call.